Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. The Gospel of the Lord. Albert Einstein thought that the American Constitution was like a gyroscope. No matter how or where it was moved, it always pointed home. Having recently visited my old high school, I noticed that there was no library. Everything has been replaced by computers. And there's no science lab. The STEM courses, as I am now told science is called, may be more robust than, I hate saying this, 50 years ago, but there are no more hands-on experiments and demonstrations. This is disappointing. I loved the science toys. No grasp of science whatsoever and can barely add, but the toys were fun. So for those of you who only know the virtual gyroscopes from your cell phones, the physical ones looked like a spinning top fastened to a cage. And no matter how it would spin, how you moved it, the orientation of its axis would always be the same. It has something to do with something important, but I just thought it was cool. Einstein may be right about the Constitution. We are certainly testing this observation now. But I think that this image is even more accurate about the Blessed Trinity. The Trinity, that there are three persons in one God, is a great mystery, which seems to be abstruse and useless in our regular lives. Yet it has proven to be the most practical doctrine of the church over the millennia. It shows where to find the answer to the basic question, who am I? Most of us in the global north assume that the answer is to be found in the individual self. For several hundred years, we have acted as if we were kind of independent subcontractors. And we chose to join into a union, make a contract with society. Our decision comes before any relationship, obligation, or duty. It may be necessary for survival, but we can change or withdraw from this at our pleasure. This assumes that freedom is found in the ability to choose, and that society restricts our choosing and thus our freedom, and that there are no ultimately binding relationships. This is a mindset that goes deeper than political party or affiliation. Now, I think of myself as broadly informed about the news of the day because I begin my mornings with the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. What could be more different? One day last week, the Times had an editorial supporting unrestricted government-financed abortions. It was the individual woman's body, and she had the right to do anything she wished with him. The same day, the Journal had an editorial piece on the horror of regulating the income of the very rich. They made it themselves, and no one has the right to take anything from them except for police and other basic protections. This may seem as coming from different worlds, but basically they hold different perspectives on the same idea. We are first and foremost individuals, and no one has the right to tell us what to do beyond not hurting someone else. It has been well said that America is not a liberal country or a conservative country. We are a libertarian country. As we are seeing today, we say that the individual is the beginning and end of all things. It is almost impossible to bring people together. There is an accurate but painful expression. The best we can expect in our society is the solidarity of the shattered. Just think about that. The solidarity of the shattered. This is a relatively recent development, and I would add that is principally in the global north. I have lived with enough Africans over the years to have experienced another perspective. That is what we need to begin with our community, our relationships, to discover who we are. It is in and through them that our personality emerges. Freedom is not the ability to choose. It is being freed from biases, bad habits, and willfulness that we as Christians may call sins, which cloud our mind and judgment to make bad decisions. Freedom occurs before we make a decision in the first place. And thus there are relationships which do have a hold upon us of faith, family, and the wider community. The gyroscope of the Trinity points to this reality. What do we know about the Trinity? That God is relationships, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It seems like nothing, but it shows us that reality will not be found in an individual unit, but in communities. The best that we can say about God is that he is like a community. Notice I did not say he was a community. That would be heresy. He is most, the image that we have that is closest to the reality of God is community. When I say, and I say it often enough, that belonging comes before believing, I mean this not as a sociological observation or a pedagogical technique, but as a statement on the very nature of being human. This is what makes us who we are, and everything we do must begin from this. Yet, we need to look further. We can move too far from the recognition of our need for community and need to be drawn back to it, but we can also lose sight of the importance of the individual. This is where the gyroscope of the Trinity again points the way to wholeness. There is much to be said about the importance of small groups and a sense of belonging, but we have seen in how our country has become divided. We can become so when we find our privileges and status threatened, our group identity shaken. This extends from those who seek to make America great again, which so often means seeking a return to a world that never really existed, to others who increasingly narrow their identity to a series of statements, you know, cis, white, heterosexual, American, male. Fill in yours. Narrower and narrower. Seemingly, we are divided from this direction as well. I have seen corporate identity and to whatever extent we had in America shrink from nation to tribe to clan. What else do we know about the Trinity? God is love. God has bound himself to us indeed by this love. We do not have a contract with God, but a covenant. It is not an arrangement. It is not a detail, some exchange of goods and services. There's a sharing of life with him and with each other. We celebrate this next week with the Feast of Corpus Christi, but let us remember just one thing today. The firmest identity we can have is one created and maintained by love. The most loving relationships are with God and his people. We are told that we are members of the body of Christ, and St. Paul is clear that we do not receive our identity as individual cells, each one indistinguishable from another, but as organs and, you know, limbs, hearts, feet, livers, hands, each one important in and of itself, but only really meaningful because it completes the entire body. I am who I am because God calls me to be that person. I cannot be who I am unless I help you attain your true self, whether you are of my clan or not. Our identity as an individual emerges from our destiny to be the body of Christ, the presence of Jesus in the world. Revelation of Jesus is an invitation to enter into the love of the Trinity. That love will always guide us to where God wants us to be and to do what he wants us to do. We cannot understand this mystery with our thoughts, but we can live it with our actions.